So we saw yesterday, we're just going to finish off just a couple of moments, the Gemara we said yesterday, and then we're going to go back and do Chazara for a day or two. We saw the principle of Momoin Lezeh V'Nefashos Lezeh. Good morning, Rav Nachum. Momoin Lezeh V'Nefashos Lezeh. That even though there's a general rule, you cannot give a person a double punishment, but in the case of Edim Zoymimin, we will give them a double punishment if the two punishments that they were trying to inflict were actually at different addresses. At different addresses, and we had two examples of it. I don't want to go back into all the examples, so I'm just going to mention the second one. The second one was when somebody says, he accuses Ploini of having relations with a Shoir, and then it turns out to be Edim Zoymimin. So then the Edim will get a double punishment. Why? Because they were trying to inflict a double punishment at two different people. They were trying, on the one hand, to have Ploini killed, number one, and number two, they were trying to have the Shoir killed. So it's two separate people, two separate addresses, in the event that they turn out to be liars, because Edim Zoymimin, so they will both get killed, and also they will have to pay up the value of the Shoir. So the Gemara wanted to know, why are you teaching me this case? We already know this principle from elsewhere, that where the punishments are aimed at two different addresses, then the Edim definitely will get a double punishment. And the answer was, you're quite right, but it was with regard to another Shaila that he wanted to pose. And if you remember, we finished off with this yesterday, that when a person testifies against his own ox, when he says, Shoiri, my own Shoir, so we've already established early on in the Gemara that you cannot testify against yourself or against your wife because you are considered to be a korov. Is a person considered to be a korov of his money? That was the shayla. So the shoir is obviously not a person, it's not him, it's not his wife, but it's his momoin. Can you testify against, not yourself, but against your money? That was the shayla. And the Gemara's final conclusion was, a person is only considered to be a korov to himself, but not to his money. I think everybody can already understand themselves the musa connotations thereof. A person is himself, his wife is himself, ishtei kegufei, but his money is not himself. His money is just something that he owns. There's this terrible, terrible expression. Every time I hear it, it jars. When you hear about an expression that goes, how much is he worth? How much is he worth is a terrible, terrible question. Because the real answer to that is, how much is he worth? I don't know. It depends how much Torah he learns. Depends if he davens. Depends if he's got good midas. Depends if he's got Yoreh Shemaim. So how much is he worth is really, how much money does he happen to have in his bank account, which after he moves on upstairs, it's all going to disappear anyway. So what's that, why is that how much he's worth? But that's what Al Gemara is teaching us. A person is a korov of himself. His money is just something he owns, but it's not him himself. So have a look at the relevant Rashis. Rashi is about halfway down the Omud. Ploini rova shoiri. Somebody had relations with my ox. So I'm testifying about my money. Who? He. V'acher and somebody else. Mitztaref imo. He can join forces to become an aid. A group of aiders. Mahu. Ploini v'adai mikto. Obviously the person against whom they're testifying will obviously be killed. But what about the shoir? Elo shoir mi mikdil? Will the shoir be killed? Can a person testify against his own money? Mi omrinon, odom korov eitzel memoino upalginon dibura. Remember that expression we had already, that you can split up his edus into two. Lehemuni achavre, he'll be believed with regard to the one he's testifying against, but veloy asher, but not with regard to the shoir. That part of the evidence we will ignore. Or you do more, perhaps. Loy omrinon. Maps we don't say le'inyan palga dibura that adam korav eats on the moini. Maybe we won't say that afal gav afal pi the polginon le'el eats al atzmoi. even though when he testifies against himself, that part of the evidence cannot be considered and it is cut out. Meaning we will only consider half the evidence. The question is that when, however, he's testifying against his shoir, is that the same or is it not the same? That's the question. Hodar poshta, loy omrinon. He then resolved it. We do not say odom korev et omrinon. He is not considered a relative, a close korev of his money, le'inyen palgil dibura, and therefore he is perfectly entitled to testify against his shoir, in which case, v'hashoir yisokel. Therefore, the ox will jolly well be stoned. The rest of the Rashi I'm going to leave, because it's a whole Gemara and Temura, which is not our subject. Welcome to Larry.
Rabbi, just a question. I was the whole point of the Karov is because there's a, is it because there's a conflict of interest?
Oh, this was Larry's question yesterday. It's a good question. Essentially, that might be the source of this halacha. But the bottom line is a Karov is possible. Whether the underlying fact is because you have negius, you have an agenda, you have a bias, may well be, and that presumably was the question with regard to one's momen. Surely a person has bias against one's own momen. Like I said, in the final analysis, it's got to be considered a person. Therefore, with regard to momen, although he had a suffix, the final conclusion is that no.
And what do you do in a case where there's a lawsuit where a guy says, you know, this guy ripped me off? If you don't have witnesses, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, take his word, you know what I'm saying? You know, you have to have witnesses for that?
No, because here you're incriminating your own money. That was the question. Of course, you're allowed to defend your own money, but you can't incriminate your own money.
So here, why are you, if I don't carve the mammon, so the mamono, then why are you believed if you say this guy stole from, this guy ripped me off, right?
Again, he's not believed essentially if it doesn't have Aidim. Uh-huh. We're talking about Aidus, but there are other cases where no Aidim are necessary. Koifa Bakoil and Moida Bemiktsas and all different halachas where you just have one against one. That's not our subject. Okay, Rabbi Isai, we're going to press pause now for a little bit. Very, very important. We do Chazorah. We're going to go back. Now, where are we going to go back to? We're not going to go back all that much because we did some dapim of Agadata, and I don't want to do chazorah of those at the moment. But I would like to have a look. It's the Gemara of Chesam Adalef, towards the bottom of the Chesam. If you have Daf Chesam Ad Aleph,
yes.
So we're towards the bottom of the Amud. So let's just fill in very, very basic background. Remember, we saw in the Mishnah, in Daf Beis Amud Aleph, talking about Moitzi Shemra. Moitzi Shemra is the couple get married, he then slanders her and accuses her of not being a Besula, a Machloikas in the Mishnah. Do you need 3 Dayanim, Rav Meir, or 23 Dayanim, Chacham? And if you remember, I think altogether we saw 6 or 7 or 8 different explanations of what exactly is the Machlokes all about. So have a look at the Gemara. It's the 5th bottom line on Daf Ches Amud Aleph, as mentioned. As always, when we do Chazar, we definitely go quicker than normal. So bear with me if I go too fast, and please stop me. The Chachamim said, in the case of Moitzi Shemra, you need 23 Dayanim. Why? Because in theory, this could end up in Dinei Nefoshes. Now, what does that mean, it could end up in Dinei Nefoshes? What exactly is the claim at the moment? Remember, when a person comes to Beis Din and accuses his newlywed wife of not being a Besula, essentially there's a double claim. If she committed Znus whilst under his jurisdiction, then essentially he's trying to get her killed. In addition, he's also trying to be mafsid the ksuba. So at the moment, we're clearly, Rashi points this out, we're not talking about at the moment that he's bringing Adim to have her killed. That cannot be the case, because if that were to be the case, how could anybody suggest that you only need three dayonim? There wouldn't even be an opinion like that. So if there is an opinion that says you only need three, then clearly we're talking about a case where he is not accusing her of znus, and it's only a financial discussion, in which case we don't understand why did the Chachamim nonetheless require 23 dayonim if nobody's talking about dinei nefoshes. Nobody's discussing putting the woman to death. We're only discussing whether or not she should lose her ksuba. So have a look at the Gemara, fifth bottom line, Chesam Adala. The Chachamim Oimrim, Moitzi Shemra, Be'esrim V'shloisha, says the Gemara, V'chi Yeshboi Dinei Nefashois, my Hava. So what if in theory, this could have been a case of Dinei Nefashois, but so what? But it's not. Because he's not bringing Edim, or even suggesting that he has Edim, to say that she committed Znus. All he's doing is he's claiming she's not a Masulah, she doesn't deserve a Ksuba of 200. So, we had many, 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 many explanations. Oma'ula, the first explanation is, B'choshoshin l'la'az komiflagi. Rashi explained, la'az means that once the Edim come to Bezdin, albeit they do not accuse her at the moment of Znus, but maybe word will get out into the street, and then that will trigger Edim to suddenly say, oh, yeah, now we do remember, actually. And maybe it'll end up a case of Dinei Nefashos, albeit at the moment it's not, but it might end up that way. So that's the Machlokes. Rabbi Meir Savar Ein Choshoshin L'Laz. Rabbi Meir says we're not Choshosh for Laz, and therefore, if at the moment it's not Dinei Nefashos, you don't need 23. Ravon and Savri, Choshoshin L'Laz. We are Choshosh for Laz, and therefore we've got to have 23 right from the outset, because this may well turn into a case of nefashos. That is approach number one. Rava Omar, no. Kula Alma, this is approach number two. Kula Alma lala'az lo'i chashima. Nobody is concerned with la'az, says Rava. That's not the discussion. V'hocha, b'choshoshin lichvoidon shel rishoinim komiflegim. We're talking about preserving the dignity of the first 23. What was the case? V'hocha b'mayaskinon k'goin d'ichnif bei esrin v'tloisa l'meidon dinei nefoshes. 23 dayonim were initially assembled because the husband claimed that this is a case of nefoshes, and in fact he claimed that he's got Edim to prove it, and he's about to bring them in. V'ivdur, what does it mean, v'ivdur? Then they got disbanded. Why? Because the Baal, the husband, said, sorry, I couldn't find Edim after all. But we've already assembled 23 Dayonim. So they're just about to go home. When the husband says, one second, there's still some unfinished business. Even though obviously we can't put the wife to death now because I didn't find the Edim. But there's still some monetary outstanding issues with regard to the Ksuba. So here we have a question, says the Gemara, for Omar Lohu, and he says to them on the bottom line, Dainu li miho dinei mominus, at least judge for me dinei mominus. So that's the question. If you have to preserve the covered of the Rishonim, so once they were initially summoned to Bezdin, I'm not now going to dispatch them and send them home without doing anything. Whereas the other opinion says that no, there's no such principle as covered of Rishonim, and because at the end of the day, it's no longer a dinei nefoshes, you only need three. So that is the Gemara top line. Meisvei, b'chachomim oimrim, tovoi momoin, b'shloisha. If they are claiming momoin, then it's three dayonim. Tovoi nefoshes, b'esrim b'shloisha. So what's going on? B'shloima, it's all fine and well, rabba, tovoi momoin, tchila b'shloisha means tovoi nefoshes, tchila afilu momoin, b'esrim b'shloisha. According to Rabba, it's very good. You don't always need 23 dayonim. It's only in a very, very particular scenario where he claimed he's got Edim. That's why they assembled 23. But if he only would have claimed Momoin from the outset, then how many would you need? Only three. So that's why the Brisa makes perfect sense that if he claimed three, claim Momoin, three. Claim Nefoshes, 23. But according to Ula, it's very difficult. Why? Because according to Ula, even if you only claim Mominus, but it might morph into a case of Dine Nefoshes, so you always need 23. So what on earth does the Brisa mean when it says sometimes three and sometimes 23? There is no case of three, according to the Chachamim, the way Ula understands it. Says the Gemara, Omar Rava. No, this is the answer. Ani v'arisha b'chabura targimna. Myself and the leading Talmud in the Beis HaMedrash explain this. Who is this? Umanu Rav Chiya ba'ovin. Hocha b'mayaskina. We're talking about a very specific scenario once again. What was the case? Shehevi habal edim shezinsa. The husband brought edus, two witnesses, that the wife, in fact, had committed znus. Problem is, v'hevi ho'av ho'edim v'hezimum le'edei habal. Now, the father of the bride brings counter-edim to knock out the first edim, which means that the edim of the husband have now been knocked out. So all of a sudden, the case is turned around because it turns out the husband is an absolute liar. So not only does he not win the case, but to the contrary, he now has to pay momoin to the father-in-law. So it's become a momonous case, and that's why you only need three dayanim, because it cannot now become dinei nefoshes, because the edim have been proved to be in liars. However, the mokim nefoshes is be'esrim shloisha, but if, however, it be a regular dinei nefoshes case, then of course it would be 23. So far we have two approaches to explain the machloikas, Reb Meir and the Chachamim. Here comes now approach number three. Abaya Omer. The Kula Alma Chashinon Lelaz. Umishum Kvoidom Shal Rishonim. That's not the discussion. We're not discussing Laz. We're not discussing the Kovod of the Rishonim. Rather, what are we talking about? Hocha Mayaskinon Kagoin Da Asru Bo Stam. The Edim gave the woman Hasra'ah Stam. What does that mean, Stam? Without specifying which particular death penalty she will receive if she commits the Aveira. Is that considered a satisfactory Hasra'ah or not? It's a Machlokes. V'haytana hu d'tanya, that's the Braisa that we've learned. V'shar kol chayvei misa shabatera, ein mamisim oisam elo be'edim, v'edim. Sorry, the Eido, the Eidim, the Hasra'a, the Ad Sheyoidiuhu Shehu Chayev Misa Bebezdin. They have to inform him that you're going to be Chayev Misa in a Bezdin if you commit this Aveira. And Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, no, it's not enough. Ad Sheyoidiuhu Be'ezer Misa Hu Nerak. So you see, you have a Machlaikas. Do you have to specify which Misa? So if we have a Machlaikas, that's the Machlaikas in our Mishnah between Ramea and the Chachamim. Why does one opinion say 3 and one says 23? The answer is, it's very simple. She was accused of committing znus. There are edim, it's true, but the edim say we did not give a specific hasra. We only gave a very general hasra. Does that suffice or does it not suffice? It's a machlokes. So if it suffices, 23 dayanim. If it doesn't suffice, just 3. Here comes teretz number 4. Rav Papa Omar Hocha Be'isho Chaveiro Askino. We're talking about a knowledgeable woman. What's the halacha in the case of a knowledgeable woman? A knowledgeable woman, does she need Hasra at all? It's also a subject of a machlekes. The Kamiflegi Be'plukta Rabbi Yosi Ba'Yehuda V'Rabbanon. This is another machlokes. The Tanya, Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda, Omer Chaver Ein Tzarech Hasra. A knowledgeable person, a Talmid Chacham, does not need a Hasra, according to one opinion. You only ever need a straw to be able to differentiate between shoygeg and mezid. But somebody who is knowledgeable, so he's got no claim of, oh, I'm sorry, I was a shoygeg, I didn't know. Of course he knew. So according to one opinion, he doesn't need hasra. According to the other opinion, you always need hasra. So again, that's the machlokes in our Gemara, in the Mishnah. We're talking about an isha who is very knowledgeable. No hasra was given. Can she nonetheless be put to death? Is a machlokes tanoim. According to one opinion, the fact that she did not get hasra doesn't matter. She doesn't need hasra. And according to the other opinion, it is a problem, and therefore she cannot be put to death. Therefore, it's not a din in nefashos, and you only need 3 dayanim.
Rebbe, in all halachas that need hasra, is it always the issue that if the person's a chacham or a rav, that hasra becomes null and void?
According to one opinion, correct, yeah. Correct. Okay, bottom line, fifth teretz now. Rav Ashi Omar, going over to the Omar now, going to asru be malkus veloy asru be katola. The Edim gave Hasra, but which Hasra? On Malkus, but not about Misa. The Kamifugi, and this is another argument. The Plugtid Rabbi Shmuel Rabbon on the Tanan, Makkois Bishloisha, Pamishum Rabbi Shmuel Omer Be'esrim Bishloisha. This is always the question. If you only give Hasra with regard to the Malkus, the Gemara would explain why and what. What exactly is the Machloikus? The question is, Will you nonetheless get Malkus, and does it require 23? That's a Machloikas, and for that could be the Machloikas in Rameah and the Chachamim. Rabbeinu Omar, this is now the sixth Teretz. Kagoin Shenimtso Echod Min Ha'edim Korev Apostle. We're talking about that one of the Edim turned out to be a relative. And how many Edim were there? There were 3. So if you remember, we had a whole discussion. When you have 3 Edim, one of them is knocked out, does that knock out the whole group? The Komifagi, Bepluchta, the Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbi, Ali, the Rabbi Kiva. The Tanakh. We have a Mishnah says as follows: Rabbi Kiva Oimer, Loi, Bo, Shlishi, Elo, Lahachmir, Alov. The third aid only creates Chumras. What does it mean? Only creates Chumras. Lasois Dinoi, Kiyetsi, Be'elu. You will do to him exactly the same as what you do to the other two. He's got no excuse of, you could have managed just fine without me. No. Once you become part of the group, you are part of the group. And if that's true in the negative sense, obviously in a positive sense. Im kein ono shakosu es hanitpal laveira, ko'over avera. If you become party to an over avera, you're treated like an over avera. Alachas kamo v'kamo she'ishalim schar es hanitpal lo'isei mitzvah ko'isei mitzvah. So obviously if you become part of a group that's mitzvahs, and obviously, you will get scha. Umash naim nimtzo echo mehem korev apostle eduson betela. When you have 2 edim, and one of them turns out to be a korev apostle, obviously the whole group now is disbanded because you've only got 1 left, and that's not enough. So too, afshloisha nimtzo echo mehem korev apostle eduson betela. Uminayin afilu meo, even 100 edim, if one of them is apostle, that cancels the whole group. Tamalim ha'edim. However, it's not so poshut. Omar Rabbi Yosi, Amed Varma Murim Bedine Nefoshois, that only refers to cases when somebody's going to be put to death. Avo Bedine Momenes, Tiskaim Eidos Bashar. Then the Eidos will remain with the remainder of the group. We only say this principle that if one aid goes, the whole group has gone. That's only with regard to Nefoshois, not with Momenes. Rabbi disagrees. Echod Dine Momenes. The echod dinei nefoshes, it's all the same. Once you knock out one, the whole group goes with one condition. The emosai, when is this? Bizman shehisru bohem. Only if the relative gave a hasra. And if he gave the hasra, so clearly he's making himself into a proper witness. The fact that he was just standing there watching is irrelevant. Avol bizman sheloi hisru bohem, bottom line. But if he did not give hasra, so ma'yasu shnei achim. So what should 2 brothers do? They just happen to be watching be'echod shiro, be'echod shahoreges hanefesh. The fact that he's just standing there doesn't make him into an aid. What's the weather like in Netanya? It's also pouring there?
It's been mamish like a hurricane for like 3-4 days.
Gosh. What about give up Shmuel?
What was that bracha for? What was that bracha for? Lightning?
Thunder.
Let's see.
What's it like in Givat Shmuel? Same weather?
Okay.
No, yes, raining there too. Okay, we're normally freezing here, but Shemesh and Larry tells me he's going off to the beach to set up a 45 degree temperature. But
you have no idea how cold it is. It's cold out. I had to go to Minyan this morning. It was cold.
I was in Yerushalayim. I was in Yerushalayim yesterday afternoon, and it was really cold.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Rebbe, can I just say I'd like to share to be Lilu Nishmas Zusha Shalom Ben Meir.
Zusha Shalom is who?
My father.
The outside is today?
Yeah.
I thought it was for my aunt. It's true. My grandfather passed away a number of years ago.
Okay, so Neshama have an aliyah in Gan Eden, be'ezus Hashem.
Amen.
It cannot be a bigger aliyah for Neshama to have his son and grandson learning together in the morning. Very, very, very special. Very, very special.
Amen. Wow. Thank you so much. What a thing.
How many years ago did he pass away?
9.
9 years ago.
They lived in Ramat Beit Shemesh. My mother still lives in Ramat Beit Shemesh.
Oh, okay.
Alice, what street do they live on?
Rephaim.
Oh, Rephaim, right.
Oh, okay. That's very close. Mm.
They dominate by Myers.
Right. Okay. Okay. Second line. V'bois eimer kugoyin shehisru bo achirim v'lo yisru bo edim. The alternative explanation, there was Hasra, full Hasra, but not by the Edom, rather by other people. Does that suffice? Again, a machloikis. The komiflegi beplukte Rabbi Yossi v'rabon on the Tran. Rabbi Yossi oimer lo'olam einoi nerag ad sheyu pishnei Edov masrin boi. Rabbi Yossi's opinion is it has to be the Edom who give the Hasra shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, al pishnaim Edom. So there is a machloikis. Some say anybody can give the Hasra. Some say the Edom have got to give the Hasra. So in the event that other people gave the Hasra, you'll end up a machloikas. Can the woman be killed? And that's the machloikas in the Mishnah 3 or 23. V'boy yisema, another alternative is k'goyin de'iskechish b'bedikos v'loy iskechish b'chakiros. Remember we said there's different types of investigation, the general questions and the final details. V'komif l'gibe p'plukta r'bim the Ben Zakeh v'Rabbono. The Tznan Maisa u'Boda Ben Zakeh v'Uktze Te'inim. Ben Zakeh used to ask the very, very, very minor details, and if the Edim were not aligned, even on the small details, he would throw them out. Others disagree and says, no, they do not need to know the smaller details, only the general details. So if they were caught out on the smaller details, can the woman still be put to death? Will end up being a machlekas. So therefore, either three or 23 dayomim. Omar Rav Yosef, Havi Habal Edim, the husband brought Edim Shazinsa, and then Vehavi Ho'av Edim Vehezimom Leidu Habal. The father then brought counter Edim to knock out the first Edim. So what happens now? Edi Habal Meherogim, but Ve'im Meshalmi. We can't get two punishments. Chozar Vehavi Habal Edim Vehezimom Leidu Ha'av. If the husband now brings another set of Edim who knock out the second set, this is the third set knocking out the second set, then Nerogin Umashalmin. How can that be? Like we said before, Momon Lezer, the Nefoshes Lezer. When you're paying to two different people, there's no problem to have a double punishment. V'omar Rav Yosef, Ploini, Ravoi, La'oinsoi, Huva Acher Mitztarfin, La'horgoi. If somebody says that he himself was involved in an Avera of Mishkav Zocha, but he was forced into it, so he's not incriminating himself. So therefore, he can testify against the perpetrator and have him killed. But if it's Liritzoinoi, if he says, I was involved in this Liritzoinoi on my own free will, well, then you're making yourself into a Rasha. Rasha Ubatira Omra Al Toshis Rasha eight. Rava Omar no. Odom Korib Eitzel Atzmoy, the Ein Odom Esim Atzmoy Rasha. A person is a Korib of himself, cannot make himself into a Rasha. Therefore, that part of the Eidos I disregard, Palginon Dibura, and therefore I will have the perpetrator killed. Omar Rava Ployni Bo Al Ishti. So once again, Huva Acher Mitzdarfin Lahorga. You can have the perpetrator killed, but Loi Lahorga. But not to get the woman killed. Why not? That once again, his edus will be split into two. I will only believe the husband with regard to the perpetrator, but not with regard to his wife. Isn't that the same chiddush that we had before? No. I might have thought the Odom Korav Eitzel Atzmoy Omrinon. But Eitzel Ishtoi Loi Omrinon. Maybe I would have been excused for thinking that a person is not considered halachically, as it were, with regard to Eidos, as a korev of his wife, komash malon, that you are. And therefore, just like you can't incriminate yourself, so too, you can't incriminate your wife either.
Rebbe, how come when you do tshuva, it's not an idiot of Adam korev latzmo? You know, you're going to Hashem and you're admitting that you made a mistake. So what's the difference between Beis Din and saying to Hashem the same thing?
In Beis Din, when you incriminate yourself, you lose out from it. So if a person doesn't have an emunah, no person wants to lose out. But when I'm doing tshuva, I'm not losing out. To the contrary, I'm admitting in order that I should get a kapara. So of course you believe. V'omar Rava, let's try and finish these last few lines. V'omar Rava, ployni bo al nara hamu'urasa. When he accuses somebody of having relations with a nara marasa, v'huzmu, ne'erogin, but v'ein mashalmin. Because we don't know, he didn't say who the particular woman was. But if we don't know who the father is, but if I say Bitoi Shel Ployni, if I say yes, it's a woman who's the daughter of the following person, so he's trying to incriminate two people, so he'll get a double punishment. Vuhuzmu Nerogin Umashalmin Momin. Why? Momin is there, then a fascist is there. V'omar Rava, so too in the case of a Shoir, Ployni Rava Hashoir, Vuhuzmu Nerogin V'ein Mashalmin Momin, because we don't know who the Shoir is. But if I say Shoiroi shall ploy me vozmu, then erogin umeshalmin momen. Momen lezeh, the nefashis lezeh. Isn't that just the same chiddush? Hasu lomeli, why do I need to be taught this hainu hach? The answer is you're right. But I wanted to pose another question with regard to a shoir. What was that? Mishum de kabo boi ilave. He wanted to pose another question in connection with this. De boi rava ploy me rava shoiri. When you're trying to testify against your own shoir, mahu mi omrinon odom korvetz alatzmoi the ein odom korvetz lomamoinoi aydomano omrinon odom korvetz lomamoinoi. That was his question. Bosar debaya, after he posed it, hodar poshto, he then resolved it and said, no, I've come to a conclusion. Odom korvetz alatzmoi the ein odom korvetz lomamoinoi. Therefore, you are allowed to testify against your own ox. Okay, we went quickly today, very quickly today, but this is Gemara that we've all learned recently, so hopefully it should be fresh in our minds. And Be'ezus Hashem, tomorrow we're starting a brand new Gemara. So Alex, don't give up on us yet. You'll see it tomorrow will be a real feel of what the Shir is like, and then you'll decide whether it's good for you or not good for you.
What does that mean? There's no decisions.
Like yet. It so far.
He doesn't have a choice. What does that mean?
You might not like it. The Gemara
it's
says...
Yeah, it's an issue of like or not like.
La'olam yilmad.